This is CyberPod EU, the European cybersecurity podcast powered by Sockwise.
But what is still not common is the idea of operant conditioning and the ability to test or train with both positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement. The industry has grown up with only negative reinforcement. Stop the bad behaviors. Practical advice for anyone listening, don't unsubscribe to anything you've been subscribed to, especially if it didn't ask you to confirm the subscription, because then those emails would have gone away. Market spam.
Dear listeners, I'm happy to present to you CyberPod EU with a new part. I'm Greg Leshku, your host and also cyber practitioner. In this season, we are walking around AI aspects of cybersecurity, so in this episode, we'll have this area in focus too. Today, I have a guest from overseas with an exciting background who is also a startup founder. Those who know me also know that I love startups and entrepreneurs, so I'm really curious what Craig brings us today. So, good morning, Craig. How is your morning? Did it start smoothly?
Yes, it did, Greg. It's very nice to be here. Thank you for having me. And as a startup founder, yes, we both wear those same headaches and challenges and multiple hats to switch, all of that good stuff. So I'm very happy to be here today. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy you could make it and be with us today. So instead of I'll try to introduce yourself, would you do it for us and for the listeners?
Sure. So I'm Craig Taylor. I'm a co-founder of CyberHoot. It's a learning management system that essentially teaches cyber literacy skills. I have a 30-year history in cybersecurity. I have a degree in psychology, which is, believe it or not, very helpful in cybersecurity because, as you know, as a practitioner, we have to convince people to do secure things from the beginning, not as the last step. Oh, did we ask security if we can do this? And then they say no. We want to be the opportunity of yes, but you need to consider these things to make this happen. It's very nice when we are considered in the beginning of these projects, that sort of thing. I am passionate about hockey and mountain biking and community service. I've ridden in a fundraiser. My son and I have raised $125,000 for cancer research over 10 years. So I'm basically, that's me in a nutshell.
Oh, that's amazing. How did you land in cybersecurity and how did you start your startup? Well, why did you choose to step on this way?
Yes. Well, I was only a mediocre student. So when I graduated with a degree in psychology, I really enjoyed learning what motivates people, how people learn, something we might talk about later, operant conditioning, positive, negative reinforcement schedules. What we'll talk about there will help you as a parent teaching your children. It will help you as a cyber practitioner teaching your employees. So that's very interesting. But 30 years ago, I decided I did not want a PhD in psychology. I couldn't go to school anymore. I was done. So I got my first job in cybersecurity at a firewall vendor. Now, remember, all the way back then, there was no World Wide Web. Companies were just learning about the internet, that they could communicate via email and these sorts of things. And we needed to convince them there was a firewall necessary to plug into the internet, believe it or not. Before that, it was convincing them they needed antivirus on their computers. You know, it was a long, long time ago. So from there, fast forward, I've worked for multiple IT outsourcing firms from an international standpoint at Computer Sciences Corporation, supporting global companies, and then small managed service providers supporting, you know, small businesses. And what their needs were and what we saw at CSC were very different. And what the solutions on the market were very different. So 10 years ago, I founded CyberHoot to address the small to medium-sized business and truthfully now enterprises because we have a solution that fits for any market anywhere using positive reinforcement to teach some critical cyber literacy skills. So that's my background. How I arrived here today was I think you and I connected and I saw your podcast and I said, let me be on that. He has a very good idea about cybersecurity, so I'd like to be a guest. And here we are.
Marvelous. Thank you very much. I really appreciate people, and I know how difficult it is to, let's say, change careers or step another one forward. When I looked at Cyberhood, I became interested because we all know that the human is a, let's say, at least a weak point within our protection, if it's not the weakest.
Yes.
And we see a lot of different standards, a lot of different approaches, but one thing is common, that you should train your people. And you are a U.S. citizen, then you might be still aware that there is a strong regulation being rolled out in Europe nowadays, NIS2, and it's based on NIST 853, which is an American standard originally. Mm-hmm. And it also has an important section about the training and the role-based training of people. You have a platform, which may I call it a training platform? Or
yes, it is exactly
similar.
That.
It's a training platform. So what do you think? What changed, for instance, in the last couple of years, and what were the challenges you faced, and how does it look at these days, Cyberhood platform?
Yeah, it's a good question, Greg. I think at the most foundational level, what's changed in, say, the last 3 to 5 years is when I go to a company, no matter the size, small, medium, or large, and I say, you have to be training your employees, there's very little pushback today. It used to be I had to convince them. If I go back 25 years, it was convincing to use a firewall. 30 years, it was antivirus. 5 years ago, it was you need to train and test your employees, because people didn't recognize or understand the exposures that they were up against. That has gone away. With all of the news media and the breaches and the data that's been stolen, encrypted, double extortion with releasing law firm files to the internet to force a payment of ransomware, there is now a recognition that we must train and test our employees with phish testing and things of that nature. But what is still not common is the idea of operant conditioning and the ability to test or train with both positive reinforcement and negative reinforcement. The industry has grown up with only negative reinforcement. Stop the bad behaviors. Punish people who click on fake email testing when we do it, so that they don't infect us with a virus. So I think where the industry has come from is a recognition, but it hasn't gone far enough to say we have better ways of training humans to remove that risk of the human firewall, or to reduce it at least, because I do believe it is the biggest risk we all face, is the human in the chair.
I understand. And what do you think that what makes Cyberhood different or better or more? Because we see a lot of different, but yeah, there are similarities but differences as well, even from technological perspective. So how you use it, is it on prem, is it fully cloud based? How much I can tailor it to my needs?
Right.
Yeah, if you could bring up some of your identifiers.
Sure. So I think the jury is out whether it's better than fake email phishing, but we have a positive reinforcement methodology that is very well received by end users and by the managed service providers and IT departments that roll out our what we call Hootfish. It's basically walking an employee through the 6 or 7 pieces of a phishing puzzle. Imagine that the sender, being a typo-squatted domain name, is a piece of the puzzle. The urgency and emotionality of the email, which is designed to get you to react instead of respond thoughtfully, is another piece. Links that are obfuscated behind bit.ly or shortened URLs or have percentage signs in them or are completely off, or maybe they're not. Maybe it's a single letter, an S on a domain name, is not the same domain and people do not recognize that. That is yet another indicator. So we put these 6 or 7 puzzle pieces together in an exercise, and we walk an individual through them, asking them to choose safe or unsafe, or suspicious for that matter. And as they complete the exercise, they get immediate feedback on their success, or they must retake the test. We re-randomize the questions. But at the end of the day, what this methodology follows is very simply positive reinforcement. It's meant to encourage good behaviors that we want to see in our employees, looking at that sender for very minute changes in the URL, understanding the emotionality of an urgent request to do something. These are all indicators of a potential malicious intent. And if you can teach and encourage those good behaviors, we find that users do a lot less damage and clicking on things they shouldn't, as opposed to what the rest of the industry seems to be focused on is better and better phishing attacks via email that if the employee clicks on the link, they fail the test and they have to go and take 45 minutes of video training, which may or may not teach the skills they need. There's many other benefits and to the whole system. For example, when we send assignments, we remind the employee until they do this interactive phishing simulation. So we have 100% compliance on every employee with every campaign that we establish versus only the employees that open a fake email, you get a compliance score for them. They either pass or they fail. The rest, sometimes 50%, didn't open the email. There's no benefit whatsoever. The examples we use are very highly realistic to what hackers use. When you register a domain name with an S on it, you can't send that to a target audience of employees, because if the vendor has one spam report that you've registered a domain with an S on it, they will sue you to take that domain now down. You cannot impersonate domains with any vendor, proper vendor name in the URL. So when you're using any of the other fake email tests, it's a very dumbed down or simplified domain name that is quite obviously wrong. But that has a very unfortunate consequence, Greg. It teaches people the wrong message, that if it's obviously wrong, that's the only time I can be phished. They're not taught the very devious hacker technique of typo squatting by adding an S or putting a period in the wrong place, these sorts of things. So there's many different benefits to this positive reinforcement. But the best example and the final thing I'll say about this is you can train a dog with a shock collar. And you know of the perimeter fences and flags they put up around a property to keep the dog from crossing the road? Well, if there's a squirrel or a rabbit or maybe a skunk, hopefully not, and the dog sees that, they're not going to worry about this shock. They're going to go for the animal, and they could get killed by being hit on the road or what have you. Employees that see a very good fish, and you know, AI is central to your podcast. Hackers have tools to put your social media profile into AI and say, design me 5 spear phishing attacks that are meant for Greg to click on because it's very personal to him. One might be about his podcast, CyberPod. Another might be about something in your personal life or your family. And they are so good at creating this. And it could be me creating it in English and translating it into Hungarian or German or whatever your favorite language would be. And it's done perfectly grammatically correctly. Now, there may not be cultural norms in the translation. That's getting better, though. So the reality is employees need to have the understanding of being taught how to fish so that they are fed for a lifetime of processing email securely, efficiently, and confidently, rather than taught anxiety and fear of making a mistake by clicking on things. It's that simple. And this is still a developing concept in cybersecurity. It's not in psychology. This is a 50-year-old, you know, concept in psychology, maybe 70. But cybersecurity is behind on understanding this.
Thank you for this explanation and summary. And what can you utilize from the world of AI? I mean, do you use or do you plan to use large language models for your tool, or do you consider this as an option?
Well, as a small business, we have, you know, we're a startup even though we're 10 years old, we have a finite amount of time to work on things. So we use AI for 5 or 6 very critical functions in our business. First, we can use it to create educational videos. We can use AI to help develop a script and feed the script into an AI platform to build a video. And the videos are quite exceptional today with the spoken words and the emotions that are shown on screen, and it's only going to get better. So we use it for some production of our content on the videos we send out. We send videos and these fishing exercises. The second thing is we use it for support, right? We have some knowledge-based articles, and we're about to roll out a support agent on our website that when you have a question, how do I configure X, Y, or Z in the platform, you can, the AI can go to our knowledge articles and answer for you. We use it on outbound marketing and sales. We have an ideal customer profile. We've put it into an engine that is AI-driven to identify people of that profile or businesses and then build very appealing email outreach to the particular people of interest. We also use it for development in cases where we need to code in a new platform capability or feature. AI can help write some of that. Now, in all cases, it is not done without a human overseeing this, right? There's no autonomy today. The agentic agents that we're using are not smart enough to operate on their own or to improve on their own. We have to improve them through our own, prompting and such. And limiting the pod agent, the website agent. You cannot talk about anything outside of these articles, because if you allow it to, it will, it'll hallucinate in very unusual ways. So that's how we're using AI at the moment. And it's been a very huge force multiplier for us in terms of how much we can get done quickly and very effectively.
I appreciate that you openly speak about this. I think it's very useful to change, exchange ideas about how we use in the daily work the different tools which come up. Yeah, it seems like we have a new tool coming up every day. Maybe dozens of new tools are coming up. We don't have the chance to test them all. For instance, yes, we are also using in the field of communications for processing text, for instance, but we started to use it at other tools within the SOC environment, which is very interesting. As you mentioned, it's an agentic AI concept, but it's very much promising. So I think analysts can now really start to be a bit worried about their future.
Yes.
So That's also a reason to train ourselves further, because the humans have to be smarter. Otherwise, we lose this competition against the robots and machine intelligence. We have a part of the podcast which we call the Headline of the Week.
Headline of the Week.
And this time it's going to be a little bit special because Craig has brought us something interesting. It's about operant conditioning. And that's what I will refer to. And it's a blog post, a blog article on CyberHood webpage. So just let's listen to Craig to make us a summary about this topic.
Yeah. So we've talked a little about operant conditioning, but the article is fake email phishing. It can be more harmful than helpful in many cases. And I think the article basically summarizes what we've talked about on the positive and negative reinforcement schedule. If you go to, let's say you're a university student and you walk into class on day one and maybe we're looking at, genetics or something, and the professor arrives and he says, okay, put your books away. We're going to have a test on genetic engineering today. Everyone will look around the room and say, what do you mean? We've learned nothing yet. Why are you testing me on something I haven't been taught? This is what many companies of the world do with fake email testing. They want to make sure that they pad their statistics about how many people failed the phishing test with zero training, perhaps, in many cases, so that they can justify the budget to buy the tools to provide security for their company. And I would argue, and I do in this article, that you need to educate first And then down the road, you can do these fake email tests to verify and validate the knowledge has sunk into the brains of your employees. So it's really an order of operations. First, you must provide positive reinforcement training on the fake emails, on the phishing attacks of the world. Because you know this as well as I, Greg, the number one way companies are breached, Verizon Data Breach Report is an annual report that a company in the U.S. produces. They take all of the breach data from everywhere in the world, including the EU, Australia, anything that they can get their hands on, and they do a multi-relational database analysis. They did this for 25 years now that I'm aware of, and they said in 2003, the number one way companies were breached by far and away was phishing and social engineering at the first, password hygiene at the second, and a distant third was unpatched systems or zero-day attacks. Mm-hmm. Fast forward 20 years, the same attacks are happening. Phishing is number one, password hygiene number two, and so on. Mm-hmm. But they said that consequences have changed, okay? The frequency of attack is way up. Hundreds, thousands of times more companies are attacked with phishing more often. The consequences of a successful attack are more devastating. Have you heard of double extortion? In the 10 years ago, ransomware, it encrypted your files. If you had backups, you got out of the problem jail free because you got your data back. No harm, no foul. Today, they exfiltrate the data and they double extort you. They say, we'll give you the key to unencrypt it. But if you don't, we're going to release your privileged and sensitive data to the internet, which is the second factor of extortion. And the way they do these things are much more automated and more accessible to more hackers. As we talked about AI, there are actual organizations. Think of them like enterprises on the dark web whose company was founded to create malware, various versions of ransomware. And they have support and they have help for decrypting files when someone pays a ransom. If they can't get their files back, they can call and get help to decrypt the files. They have, feature requests that you can submit, all sorts of things. And so that is what we're all up against in the world. And still today, the number one is phishing and social engineering. And we must find a way to educate our employees properly about how to inspect an email positively to encourage those behaviors rather than simply work on tamping down or reducing bad behaviors. That's essentially what we're saying. So it's not so much that I'm saying never do a fake email test as much as you must educate with positive reinforcement in order to build the foundational knowledge. And then the professor can test you on genetics, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely understand it. Based on your experience, what are the best ways to motivate the people to really invest in training and, what are the factors on which they depend or their improvement depends?
Yeah, Greg, you've centered and identified. You're such a smart individual. You've really teased out the second biggest problem. Once you figure out that you can encourage people to do the good things, they still have to be engaged to do this exercise, because many times people put their head. Are you familiar with the ostrich phenomenon? People, especially owners of companies, and I do mean the owners listening to this now, you put your head in the sand and you hope it'll never happen to me, right? It'll never happen to me. That is not the case. You have to engage in ways that motivate companies and individuals to actually do the work. I was talking to a colleague who does cyber escape rooms, not in my company, but another peer of mine in doing cybersecurity training. And she and I were talking very much about the positive reinforcement. And so she created a whole company that does cyber escape rooms. And these things are very interactive. They're very engaging with the population. It's an exercise. You can hire her company to come in for a day and they do this cyber escape room. Everyone is involved. So you get the engagement that is sometimes missing because of the lack of motivation. Mm-hmm. For us at CyberHoot, we try to use gamification. We give certificates of completion that give you continuing education credits, which are required for many areas of study. If you're an accountant or a lawyer or a doctor, you have to complete so many hours each year of continuing education. And fortunately, cybersecurity counts in many cases. We have avatars. We have a gamified version of Hootfish where there's a countdown timer and a leaderboard in your company, and you can be the first of all employees in the list of who can identify the six or seven phishing indicators the fastest. So we make it fun and engaging. And if you make it fun, this happens to me. I don't know. Let me ask you, Greg. I don't like going to the gym to push iron up and down. It's so boring. But if I play hockey, I'm getting a very similar cardio effect and muscle use, but I never feel like it's working out. It's like a side effect of playing the game. This is what we need to adopt inside cybersecurity education. Make things games and fun, and then the side effect is the knowledge that comes with it.
I get your point, absolutely. And again, it's psychology, so well done, I would say. Coming back to the positive reinforcement, do you think that for those really small enterprises who lack the ability to use your platform, for instance, a prize, for instance, would do the job as well? I mean, offering anything. I mean, for
well, so many times in that Hootfish challenge with the countdown timer and then the leaderboard, a company will offer a prize on a monthly basis to their top performing employee. As long as you've only won it once, they like to share it around, right? There's always one employee who has figured it out to the better extent than anyone else. But I think anytime you can create a reward system, you know, holding people accountable for compliance is also partially a reward if you include it in performance evaluations and appraisals on an employee's pay raise at the end of the year. Maybe include their compliance scores in their awareness videos, their phishing simulations, their policy acceptance. They've read and agreed to the policies that govern your employees and your company. That can possibly also play into an encouragement factor for completing and being compliant. Because ultimately, you know, I'll say this a different way. Cybersecurity is many times the problem that we face as practitioners is the business owners and the individuals do not recognize how exposed they are online. They don't know what they don't know. So they have a false sense of security. So if we can open the veil of here's what can happen. Telling stories is one of the best ways you can do this. I had a gentleman call me the other day. He had been targeted by hackers. They had subscribed him to 50 mailing lists and newsletters, and his inbox was flooded with email, and he couldn't cope. So he started one by one unsubscribing to these messages. One of them tied to an evil proxy that reached into his computer and stole his email token, his session token for email, and the hacker was in. Another one, at the same time, they stole his bank token because he was actually banking at the same time, believe it or not. They stole his bank code, and he discovered it because the bank called him immediately saying, someone is trying to transfer money, funds from your account. And he came to me to ask, how did this happen? What happened? And we teased it back to one of those unsubscribe links. So practical advice for anyone listening, don't unsubscribe to anything you've been subscribed to, especially if it didn't ask you to confirm the subscription, because then those emails would have gone away. Mark it spam. Anyone that does not send a confirmation email does not deserve their domain rankings to be pristine. You should mark it as spam. You will not get any more email from them, but they will pay the price for not following etiquette and appropriate confirmation emails, things of that nature. But that's how a story can be told that sticks with people. I can't unsubscribe because that could be a malicious link. Oh my goodness. So telling stories can also lift the veil of it couldn't happen to me.
Yes, I really like your story, and I always had the same feeling to, I'm not sure if I've ever heard it on training. I mean, so, I mean, regarding this example you brought up, the subscriptions and yeah, I just, my practice was that, okay, I don't click on this link, but I go to the website, maybe through Google, and then I'm at least on the safe side, hopefully, maybe not fully, but still I did something. But this is a very good example. I love it very much. You mentioned a couple of points regarding your private life. One thing caught my attention was the hockey. Do you mean ice hockey, I guess?
Oh, yes. I'm Canadian, I have to admit. So I grew up playing hockey. My grandfather coached him in hockey, and he was an okay hockey player. He's still alive, 88. He will never hear this, but he was an okay hockey player. But he coached his five boys in hockey. I was one of them. I've coached my son, and we love hockey. It's hockey is life, to quote a soccer player once said that. And I think hockey is life because it teaches you about life in so many ways, about friendships in locker rooms, about winning and losing, what to say, what not to say, respect your fellow man, being careful around people who might get hurt, things of this nature. But yes.
And do you hold trainings, or what's your role in the hockey world?
Well, I've done everything in hockey. I'm a level four certified USA hockey coach. So that I could coach up to the high school level. I have not.
Congratulations.
Okay. Thank you. I've been a referee. So I've been on that side of it, hearing parents and players. I play probably three or four times a week myself now. And, it keeps me young and it keeps me sane, because beautiful part of hockey, Greg, is we have a lot of pressures on our lives as business owners. We have multiple hats we wear, and there's stress every day. But when you step on the ice, the mind goes blank. All it focuses on is the puck and your teammates and making a play. And it's a relief from the world around us. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a really lovely thing. Do you play hockey yourself, Greg?
I'm not a good enough skater for that, but I would love to try it.
Yes.
I play soccer, and I feel exactly the same what you just described. I have three sons, so also this perspective I know as well. So I really appreciate, and also what you have told regarding the Rotary Club you are in and volunteering and fundraiser is that's also a thing I really appreciate. So I appreciate, Craig, that you could make it and be with us in this episode. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me, Greg. If anyone wants to reach out to CyberHoot to learn more, you can email sales@cyberhoot.com. And I'll leave you with one thought. There was a very famous person in the U.S., Benjamin Franklin. He talked about fire safety when he said this line, but it applies today to cybersecurity. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. A little bit of prevention goes a long way. So this is the idea we need to apply to our businesses and our cybersecurity through training and through detection.
Thank you, Craig. So, dear listeners, I hope you like this episode and you can benefit from the thoughts shared by Craig. We would love to see your comments or suggestions, so that you find me on LinkedIn or through the SocWise webpage. Thank you to all the listeners for joining us. Stay secure and remember, prevention is the best, but detection is a must.
This was CyberPod EU, the European Cybersecurity Podcast powered by SocWise.